But here in the 21st century, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that this is a time and an age that will be known as the age of imagination. We're here. There's a lot of past cultures and brilliant men and women who wrote about this time. They even projected dates that it would occur. And it's rather fascinating to me to realize that we really are in it. And I realize in my heart of hearts that the people that are alive on the earth right now, we're the ones that we've all been waiting for. Challenge and question every hypothesis, every postulate, every theorem, every proof that has been in place for the last 1700 years, and especially in the last 100 years. Just because you can chant, memorize academic data and put it on an exam doesn't mean that you know how to naturally, organically, sensorially think. In our medical training today, through academic indoctrination at the medical schools that are bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, and the curriculums are bought and paid for and put into place by the pharmaceutical industry, and the state licensing and the laws that support it are put into place by the lobbyists supported by the pharmaceutical industry, we come out of our medical schools thinking we're trained and we know the highest information about health. You don't. All you have studied is death and disease. In 1890, there were only 7 human diseases. 7. As of 2009, there are 10,000 legally registered diseases. What? How did we go in 15 years from 7 diseases to 10,000 diseases. I wonder if there's any money in that. There used to be only 12 medicines and they all came from plants. Today, we have 561,000 plus patented drugs. All of them poison and toxic. 561,000 medicines to fight 10,000 legally registered funded diseases? If we know what we're doing, why isn't there less disease, not more? How come every year there's more cancer, not less? If we know what we're doing, why is there more diabetes every year, not less? Why is there more digestive problems, not less? Why is there more heart disease, not less? Why is there more arthritic pain, not less? What are we doing? If we know what we're doing and we're spending trillions of dollars annually, why is there more of this not less. The academics of today is literally controlled by the pharmaceutical industry. They build the schools, especially the medical schools. They pay for the development of the curriculums that these good little repetitious rote chant learners that they've been trained to do, typically starting around age 5, to go through their schools, to learn the curriculums, to memorize pre-selected answers to put in blanks on exams and then told they were right or wrong and to correct it and get it right. And then these same young people all of a sudden have been academically indoctrinated through chant memorizing pre-selected answers as trivia. And they have a degree from university. And what, that's some major accomplishment? You believe you're educated, you're really someone? The word education means a deepening of insight. Chant learning pre-selected answers to stick in blanks on exams is not a deepening of insight. That is not an education in the definition of the scholars of the ancient world, your ancestors. The word scholar literally means to look. And it was called the look doctrine. To look and to behold and to ponder upon those things that you were looking at and seeing out of interest. And in that, your mind would behold and understand in a download, an epiphany, a moment of inspiration, an idea about what you had observed and pondered. And new ideas would come into you that hadn't been thought or acted upon. And that was an active contribution that you gave to the people within that school of thought or community of people that had the same interest. And in that, it could bless the entire community. You go back in time before universities and academics, which were put together in 326 AD with the murder of all of the scholars, the observers, the thinkers, the pondering ones, those with imagination, that was honored through the process of lifting that and the burning of Alexandria and all of the knowledge and the book burnings of World War II that took place in every developed country on the face of this earth, wherein they went into the libraries. Anything about whole foods, anything about botany and plants, anything from the ancient world about the knowledge in plants and flowers and things on the earth were burned. The books of today, very rare you come across a book that has the foundation stone of the collective of human experience over time and distance in our relationships to food and plants and the heavens above and the ages and everything that's going on around us. Pretty rare to run into it. It's all been academically twisted and put into place, and there we are. There's a huge gap between scholastic ability, which every human being is born with naturally, inherently, at birth, and academic indoctrination that we call a formal education. We have forgotten that every theorem, every postulate, every accepted orthodoxy is nothing more than a hunch. In the 21st century, in the age of imagination, we need to go back. And we better remember that we should challenge and question absolutely everything to see if there's a better way, a simpler way, a way that helps people more directly because of its simplicity and a greater truthfulness. What if the educational system that we have embraced in factory schooling really is doing more harm than good? What if people are winding up academically indoctrinated, believing certain things, And what if there's actually multinational corporations who create those curriculums and put them into the schools that they fund and build, especially the medical schools that the pharmaceutical industry pays for and builds, and creates the curriculums that good little students who are good little chant learners come out and then get a state-backed license to practice on you? It's a practice so that legally, if they harm you or kill you, there's little to no recourse. And you wind up believing that these people know what they're doing, and so you forgive them and you believe that they did everything that they could for you or your child. What if 90 to 95% of the time that's just not true? And in fact, what if they're killing more babies in the United States than any country of the world within the first 3 years from delivery to the first 3 years of their life? We kill more babies in the United States than any country in the birthing process. They used to give women morning sickness drugs. They still have them, but it was called thalidomide. I'm sure a lot of you remember it. 30 to 50,000 babies, and the published medical records conflict one with another. Somewhere between 30 to 50,000 babies were born during that era of the pharmaceutical medical giving of thalidomide like it was some kind of Halloween candy to the women. Those babies were born with arms growing out of the side of their face. No arms where they belong. Hearts born outside of the body, not inside, leading to expensive surgeries to cut them open, shove it back inside, sew them up, and hopefully they live. What if immunizations, vaccines, are some of the most dangerous things that you can involve yourself and your children in? What if they really are the leading cause of leukemia, leading to chemotherapies and death? What if they're the leading cause of autism and brain dysfunction? The pharmaceutical industry, for the most part, we like to think that they have humanity at heart. But if you really get in and look at this thing, their whole focus is to drive the value of stocks. And that comes from sale of product. Pharmaceutical comes of the Greek pharmako. Look it up. It means poison and toxic. There is not one patented prescription or over-the-counter drug that isn't a poison that is toxic to the human body. You can't even get a drug patent unless it's poisonous. You can't walk in with a strawberry and say, I want a patent. The problem with strawberries is that they're not poisonous. They're not toxic. If Monsanto and the Codex Alimentarius get their way, they will be that way soon. Then we can patent them. But let's take a look at this thing. It means poison. The poison makers is not something new. Poison makers go clear back to Egypt. Osiripath, the high priest at the Temple of On, a healer, warned the people against the poison makers, which was translated later as the word sorcerer. They were the sorcerers, which back then meant poison makers. And what Osiripath, later called Moses by the children of Israel, was teaching a dietary law to the people. That if you want to be healthy, you need to understand there are things that you can take into your body that fall into three areas. There are those things that are clean, there are those things that are unclean, and there are those things that are abominable. And it wasn't just the Judeo-Christian literature of what today is called the Bible that was talking and recording this. There were other groups as well. Originally, religion was sharing the idea and the concept and the notion that your body is sacred, that it is a museum, the house of muses, the house of knowledge, that it is a library, is what one culture referred to it as, because their word library meant house of Libra or books, that your body contains all the records and books of all of your ancestors and lives before you, that you could never learn anything new. All you can do is remember what you already know. Interesting thing. They believe that you even have the records of future generations that are not yet born. Otherwise, the book of their lives could not be written within you and come forward into life. That you have all knowledge, past, present, and future within. What a ridiculous concept in today's academic indoctrination of investigative studies within the cognitive realm. We sound like we know what we're talking about. Because we make up 17th century Latin terms to keep it a mystery. So that only those who chant learn the answers we want you to have are experts. There's money in mysteries. Disease is a mystery. It's the biggest mystery industry we have, and therefore it is the wealthiest industry globally. It's a mystery. You never want to quite solve the mystery, because if you solve the mystery, you solve the money. What if we could just erase all of the mystery of disease right here, right now? For some of you, you'll get this. Others of you are going to think, nope, that's too simple. That can't be scientific. Plus, that guy's got a weird-looking face. Here it is. Let's get rid of the mystery of disease. Because if we can get rid of the mystery of disease, we can get rid of diseases. Because when the mystery's gone, there's no more money in them. That's why they never get cured. $3 trillion, and since 1947, and that's just one country fighting disease, and we haven't come up with a single cure, and people keep dying even though they're being treated. And if someone lives 3 years after chemotherapy, they consider that a win? Oh, that was awesome! Excuse me? Let's take a look at this thing. There's money in mysteries. That's what drives it. It's a mystery. And if we only had 500 billion more, we might be able to solve the mystery. Let's get rid of the mystery right now. What a lot of people don't understand is this whole process through time of the poison makers taking over and how they've changed things. How many of you ever noticed that it's not so much the temples anymore where they have the Catholic Church's high priests and nuns? They're now called hospitals, doctors, and nurses. They are the new temples. They are funded by grants to those religions to build them for the pharmaceutical industry. That's why a lot of hospitals have religious names, like Mount Sinai for the Jewish community, St. Mark's, St. Luke's, St. Mary's, St. Anne's. Every religion of any size gets funded to build their own hospitals because the congregations will trust their churches, hospitals, and doctors and nurses and be tricked with the poisons that are given to them and handed out like Halloween candy. Most people don't realize all roads, even today, lead to Rome. There's a little country over there called Vatican City. It's only 1/6 of a square mile. That's the size. It's the smallest country on the face of the earth. There's only 981 citizens that are allowed to live in Vatican City. They own the Vatican banks. The Vatican banks control and own the entire pharmaceutical medical industry worldwide. Worldwide. They control governments. They pass policies. They pay off lobbyists and politicians. They decide who's prime minister, who's president. What, you think you, the people, voted in? Come to the United States and take a lesson. You're going to be a little shocked. In the United States alone, in the last decades from 1947, when as a nation it was announced by the President of the United States on the White House lawn, we're going to declare war on cancer. They got the entire country behind it. People volunteered their time. They gave billions and billions of dollars in donation in the fight against cancer. In the last period of time from 1947 to 2009, before the declaration of war on cancer, 1 in 8,000 U.S. citizens were diagnosed and died of cancer. 1 in 8,000. Since 1947, we have spent over $3 trillion researching and developing weapons of war in the fight against cancer. We spent $258 billion in the United States alone just last year. Where do we stand in the fight? 1 in 3 U.S. citizens are diagnosed and die of cancer. We went from 1 in 8,000, spent $3 trillion, now it's 1 in 3. Doesn't that mean cancer won the war? How many really understand the history of what we call the Catholic Church? Catholic is a word that means universal. It comes of the Latin universe, uni meaning one, verse meaning spin, the one spin. The Catholic Church was put together literally by the poison makers with the blessing of Constantine being the first pope and Roman dictator and putting this thing together and absorbing the rebellion of what was the first 3 centuries of Christianity. The first 3 centuries of Christianity and the one that they called Jesus were rebels. They were heretics. They were against the poison makers because the Jewish Sanhedrin and all that have been taken over and all of the wisdom and brilliance of Moses was no longer being honored. And so this guy, and I don't mean that offensively, an individual by the name of Jesus of Nazareth steps up. He goes to Egypt, grows up there, learns all of the wisdom from the Wicca, or Swinwet, as they were called in Egypt, the lady healers, comes back and begins to teach people about extended fasting. And just to show the people, he goes out on his 30th birthday and does a 40-day fast on water. On water. And then, of course, later, John on the Isle of Patmos does the same things. Peter and the others, the 12 that he had gathered around them with their wives, according to the ancient records. They were all married, including the one named Jesus, to Magdalene. And they were a community. There were 13 of them, Jesus plus the 12, and then the 13 women with them, which is how families were constructed during certain periods of the human experience. Today, anthropologists studying different groups of humans know there's 849 different cultures. And of the 849, 705 of human cultures today are polygamous. 139 cultures are monogamous, and 5 of the cultures are polyandrous, meaning that a woman has more than one husband. None of that is what the human experience was before the burning of Alexandria and the murder of the scholars. So here we have a very, very powerful, militant, religious group that forms to gain control of the people and to smash Christianity as it was understood, redefine it, and take it out around the world. And Every idea, every culture, every community and group of people come together under a premise which anciently was called a thesis, an idea. That thesis collects the people. Over time, almost always, someone within the group raises up with a new understanding that is anti to the premise or thesis. So it's called an antithesis or antithesis to the group. That individual who sees something completely different than what's being embraced and done becomes an enemy of the collective. Certain people that have open eyes and ears listening to the ideas of the antithesis realize, oh my gosh, that's a truer truth. And anciently they knew that truth comes in three levels. There are those things that are true, there are those things that are truer, and there are those things that are truest. When someone rises out of a group with a truer truth than what's being embraced, they are an anti-movement to the group, an antithesis. Over time, over years and years of time, they finally, the group that's doing the higher truth and this group, they begin to balance and they come back into a synthesis of ideas. They take the best ideas here and the best ideas here, let all the crap go away, and they synthesize into a new thesis. That's how the human experience collectively grows and changes. So what happened during the 300s AD, when Catholicism was put into place through the power of the military and monies of the political social arena of Rome, and they developed the Catholic Church, which means universae, their spin, the one spin that they were promoting, that they were going to get the whole world behind, so that they could rule and control the entire world. That was their agenda. And see, they made it. Most people don't even realize that when the book that was published called The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, that was funded by the Catholic Church. That's who got it out there. They wanted the whole world to read a book and put in their minds The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, that Rome fell. It did not fall. There was a phrase that was centuries old that said, all roads lead to Rome. That's as true today as it has ever been. The popes were referred to as the Pontifex Rex. They believed and taught and demanded that people believe their premise, their thesis, which was the earth is flat, the sun and moon and stars revolve around the earth. And the power of that one spin, the universe, the one spin, the power of all of that movement of the sun and moon and stars going around the world was held in the power and dictation of the Pope. The Pope was called the Pontifex Rex, which means Lord and King. He had the power that moved the sun and stars around the earth. And if you didn't believe him, when they marched into your community, the military would come in and kill you just to prove you he had the power. What we call the Spanish Inquisition and all of these other things, that was the power and the might of the military of Rome under the direction of the Pope and the archbishops and others getting together to control this whole thing. And they've done it. Today, Vatican City is the wealthiest country on the face of the earth. They own the pharmaceutical medical healthcare system. They also have spread their wealth into pharmaceutical agribusiness. They are the ones that develop the poisons that we call fungicides, insecticides, herbicides, all of these different things that we put out there on the plants, on the ground, on the dirt, mix the whole thing up. They are the ones that created and funded the veterinarian industry for pets and animals. Animals now are getting diseases, they're getting operations, they're having surgeries, they even have funeral houses to bury your pet cat, and it can cost up to $10,000 US if you want to have the right kind of funeral for your dead cat. I remember when I was a kid,
If we had a pet that died, it broke our hearts. But we took a shovel and went out back and dug a hole and placed a cat in it, put a little marker there as remembrance. It didn't cost us anything. We didn't have to spend $10,000. No animals got cancers and problems when I was a kid. That's new. That's new. And it's the feed, like we've talked about, that do it. On the Pope's ring in the ancient world, there was a symbol that looked like this. It's the letter P and the letter R and the letter X, Pontifex Rex. That is the symbol that every pharmacist and pharmaceutical salesperson and even doctors use to symbolize the industry in which they are in. These are legalized drug lords. Prescription patented drugs owned by the pharmaceutical industry are the ones that fund the illicit, illegal drug lords of the world. They're in cahoots. They infiltrate everything. That's how they take over. When someone comes along and tries to expose it, even centuries ago, they are imprisoned, they are punished, and oftentimes put to death. Look at Copernicus and Galileo. By using sticks put in the ground and watching shadows, they realized, no. The sun doesn't revolve around the earth. The earth revolves around the sun. So they were imprisoned. They were punished. Some of them were put to death when they rose up and tried to expose this whole thing.
If any industry doesn't have at least a win once in a while, the people may wake up and start to walk away and to question what's happening. So they posted a win and put it out to the entire world, especially the developed countries. They claimed that they cured polio. They went over to Africa. They got 10,000 rhesus monkeys. They brought them to the United States. They murdered all of them. They drained their blood. They added blue dye. They put the blue dye on a little white sugar cube, and they took the sugar cubes out to billions of people. They made trillions. And then they claimed they cured polio. How brilliant to know and discover through research that is scientific that you could take monkey blood, dye it blue, put it on processed white sugar cubes, and magically cure polio. Whew. How brilliant is that? Then you get into the published records in the courts. You find out what really went on. You want to know how they cured polio? After everybody had sugar cubes, if you were a licensed medical doctor, you could not diagnose anybody as having polio. Even if you saw the symptoms, you could not diagnose them as having polio because they cured that and that went away. What you could do is that you could assign one of 12 different new names as neurodegenerative diseases to those people. Polio was cured by giving people diagnostic results as multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's, and the list goes on. And what a beautiful move that was financially. They took what they were making on polio treatments, didn't even tell people the cause, which is processed sugars and white flour products mixed, and they multiplied their earnings off one disease into 12 diseases and took the income up 6,000% within just 3 years. And so here we are. And I know you're sitting there thinking, yeah, right. I hope you research this. And the nice thing about the internet and Google or other search engines, if you really work your way through, you can get back into the actual published medical journals. It takes some effort, it takes some time, but you can find this and pull it out if you're interested. Some people could care less. Some people think they know it all. Some people are just true believers and blindly follow as sheeple into that whole industry. Good little sheeple, doing what you're told out of fear. They will attack you if you try to say, no, I don't want that. They'll make you feel like you're nobody's nothing. You don't know anything. Who the heck are you? You better do this, or you're going to be dead in 6 weeks, or you're going to suffer, blah, blah, blah. And out of fear, you hand your body over. Another thing that they posted as a win, they've only had two that they actually say was a win. The other thing is antibiotics. Antibiotics. Anti, meaning against, bio, being life. Ticks, the process, against the process of life. Antibiotics. I want you to look into what antibiotics actually are as mutated cells and where they come from and the shapes they are formed into as they mutate and why you would want to take that into your body. You wouldn't let an antibiotic within 1,000 meters of your house, let alone put inside your body, if you research it and find out what they are. You would not. MRI scans, CAT scans, PET scans. I know about these things because I've worked with the directors at Johns Hopkins and the positron emission tomography clinics. You take a contrast gel dye into your body for a scan. Those are one of the most disease-causing things in the medical world, and they won't even tell you that. Just back in the 1940s, most people don't even realize, it was the Vatican banks that gave the monies to a company called IG Farben, a German company, to fund Hitler so that it would not be linked back to where these monies came from. Hitler was nothing more than a puppet. He received his funding to put together his military and to create tanks and airplanes and all of the other things and declare war, which the pharmaceutical houses wanted to go on over here to keep the people looking over there while they did this over here without you watching or knowing. World War II came about because of the funding right out of Rome, in order to build concentration camps, to bring in real live human beings, to pull them into concentration camps so that they were controlled, and the pharmaceutical industry, IG Farben, the dye makers, which goes into dyes of artificial colors in food, which are very toxic and poisonous, artificial flavorings, artificial sweeteners, artificial chemicals of every kind. Most of the food in a food market is processed, synthetic, artificial, pharmaceutical drugs laced all through those things, and you're eating them. They are mass medicating without the knowledge and consent of the people. And all of that was put into place at the end of World War II. It was all tested in the concentration camps. They tested on innocent little newborn babies, on toddlers, on young people, teenagers, on adults, and on old people. When you walked into a concentration camp, there was a general hired by IG Farben and actually part of the IG Farben group that would take one look at you and decide which way you were going to go. To the death pit where a bullet would be put through you or your throat would be sliced, you'd be thrown in the pit and buried with hundreds of others that day, or if you went over into the concentration camp for toxicology studies.
If you made it into the toxicology camp, they would begin a process of putting poisons into you. They tried dyes into the eyes of young 6-month-old babies to see if they could turn brown eyes to blue eyes, if they could turn blue eyes to brown eyes. They had all kinds of things they wanted to test in poisons that had been gleaned and gathered over centuries and thousands of years to test it on human beings so that they could get the doses to where they could put it in you and create symptomatic responses so that you would always come back to them and pay to be tricked. Oh, I'm sorry. To be treated. To receive treats. Treatments of the poison makers. That's how the pharmaceutical industry came about, was the toxicology studies of the concentration camps of World War II. Once they had everything that they wanted, and it took about 5 years, they pulled the funding, brought an end to the war, got rid of Hitler, convinced people that it was suicide. They even had Hitler on taurine to keep him wired. Taurine and synthetic caffeine to keep him wired and going and going and going and looking like a madman, a crazed world leader wanting to kill everybody. Today, taurine, which is decimated bull testicles, and synthetic chemically made caffeine goes into a drink called Red Bull. Red Bull. It's becoming one of the most popular drinks of young people, 35 years and younger, in the world today. They have no clue what they're drinking and where it's going to lead. It's going to lead to rotten decay of the teeth. It's going to break down the myelin sheaths of the body, which is going to lead to muscular dystrophies and multiple sclerosis. It's going to lead to chemical imbalance in the brain. Therefore, they're going to get on psychotropic drugs like Prozac and Zoloft, and they're going to become addicted. They're going to have pain. They'll get on painkillers and become addicted. And they're going to have that the rest of their life, unless they find it within themselves and or with the assistance of a loved one that's part of this rebellion to show them how to go through a cleansing of the entire body of the medicinal residues of these things. Get it out of the house so that they have their life back. Most people don't even realize that if you have a little pain in your ankle, you don't need to run to the doctor. You don't need to get a bunch of medication for the pain in your ankle. You have a little pain in your gut. You felt some pain over your heart. You don't even know what that is, but out of fear, you're going to run. You're going to run. How come? Because you want to be treated. We love treats. We love treats. You're going to run. Where have you been the last 3 days? Hospital? I've been in the hospital. Oh, yeah. Hospital. I'm on 36 drugs. How many are you on? 21? It is the weirdest thing. And so many people get all their drugs and sit there and trade them to each other. Here, you ought to try this. That's for this. Here, you ought to try that. That's for this. And I don't know if they do that much down here, but they do it in the United States every single day. If you go to a doctor, or you have a loved one that goes to a doctor, and they look at you after they've been treating you, and they know which drugs you're on, and they say to you, you've only got 30 days to live, go home and get your affairs in order, or you have 6 months to live, or you have 12 months to live, they're nearly always right. How did they know you're going to be dead in 30 days? How did they know you're going to be dead in 12 months? How did they know you're going to be dead in 90 days or 6 months? Are they connected into the gods of the sky? No. They have the toxicology reports on the mix of the chemicals and medications that they have you on. And they know how many days your body is going to be able to handle all of that until it goes into overwhelm and it shuts down the lungs, it shuts down the heart, the kidneys collapse, and you're dead. It's not because they're brilliant. It's not because they talked to God and He told them when you're going to be dead. They understand the deadliness of poisons. We've got to wake up. We've got to realize how infiltrated all of the religions and philosophies are, all of the processed food manufacturing, the foodless foods, the lifeless drinks, the medications, the veterinarian medications, surgeries, problems. It is everywhere and in everything. And we walk around believing that that whole system did everything that they could to help. And truth be known, 80% of the people are sincere in thinking they are helping. The problem is, without the right knowledge and understanding, you can be sincerely wrong. So as you go through time, you hit a point to where you realize that the pharmakia, today called pharmaceutical, which comes to the Greek word pharmako, which means toxic and poisonous. The pharmaceutical industry is the wealthiest industry on the face of this earth. No one has the money and the power and the military and the government political agendas owned and sewn up and tied up like the pharmaceutical industry. They determine policies of what they have deemed healthcare. They were the ones that are starting to strip people in different countries, especially in the United States, of civil liberties. There are states in the United States right now that if you don't immunize your baby, they'll take it away from you and adopt it out to another family, and you don't even know where it goes, but it's gone because you didn't immunize them. Because you are told you're not worthy to be a parent because you don't love your baby, you're not immunizing it. And yet, all of the published studies openly show babies die from immunizations. You wouldn't believe the number of people that I know, not hundreds, thousands, that their doctors, nurses, hospital staff tries to hammer them into doing procedures, immunizations, shots, all kinds of things to their babies and try to make them feel like they don't know what they're doing, that they are stupid, that they don't love their children. Why would you not do this to your baby? And when you say to them, because I have done my homework, I know of the tens of thousands of babies whose lives are completely destroyed because of total mental dysfunction and or death because of immunizations. I've had doctors look at these people and say, no, okay, come on. That's one baby in 100. Like that somehow erases the truth of what is happening? If that's your baby, because it was just your baby, 1 out of 100, that's okay? Oh, you won't care then? Sure, your baby died, but no, that was just 1 in 100. I personally know of families whose baby was immunized, even with something that sounds so innocent as vitamin K. Vitamin K is not a vitamin, it's a vaccine. And so they put it in the baby, the arterial flow begins to shut down, constricts, stops the function of the heart. They'll come back and tell you, well, your baby was born with half a heart. They know doggone well that vitamin K shot shut the function of the heart down, but it's your fault because that baby genetically inherited a heart that's only half function. We're gonna have to go in and operate and try to save it. Most of these babies die on the operating table and the treatments that they give. And it just goes on and on. Vaccines and immunizations cause autism, mental dysfunctions. They destroy babies.
These 10,000 trillion cells at birth have only one reason to exist. One. And they are driven in passion to that purpose. And that is to keep you alive and to keep you healthy until your last breath, that was really designed within the DNA to be somewhere between 120 and 900 and something years. Oh, Don, the records of those people around the world that lived that long, that's just made up crap. They didn't know how to keep time. Oh, really? They couldn't tell when the sun came up and went down, and they couldn't count them. Maybe there's something else going on that we have lost with the burning of Alexandria and the murder of all of the scholars and put into place in 326 AD brick and mortar buildings where kids, instead of using scholastic methods that enhanced imagination and recall, went away. It's not even taught anymore anywhere that I'm aware of. And they handed us rote learning. That had never been done in the history of the world. R-O-T-E, one letter away from the word rot. Rote learning, chant repetitive learning of the pre-selected answers that you stick in blanks to get a grade from curriculums that are put into place by multinational corporations with an agenda to have you work for them. So here we are. 10,000 trillion cells. Their only purpose is to keep you alive, to generate feelings of happiness and kindness and love and nonviolence and joy and movement, because life is movement. The more you move, the more you live, the more flexibility and tone and joy you have in the house in which you dwell. The less you do, the less you can do. But we forget that crap. We have jobs to go to. We got to get in the car. We can't walk anymore. Walking sucks. Let's just get on the train and go. Let's just pop, pop. Oh, there's that Coca-Cola. Let me suck it down. Where's that donut? Thank you very much. I got to get full before I get to work. I won't have the time. Oh, yeah. Pop-Tarts in the morning. Donuts and Coke when I get to the office. Go out and get some macaroni and cheese, the fake stuff, out of the box when you get to lunch. Go down because it's cheap, and then we go. And over time and distance, we don't feel so good. And we don't know why. We don't know why. They don't even know that Coca-Cola, the number one ingredient, is horse urine. Doesn't it? It's true. Google it. Except you can't look up horse urine and find Coca-Cola. You got to look up what the label says. Phosphoric acid. Then you have to Google phosphoric acid and find out what the source material is, which you already know is concentrated horse piss. But they make it taste so good, who wouldn't be without it? So we get addicted. Dr. Pepper has it. Diet Pepsi has it. Coke Zero has it. Oh no, there's no calories in there. They must have taken it all out of the horse piss. That's good for me. We don't even know what we're drinking or why we're drinking it or what we're doing to ourselves. And then we start to get aches and pains and wondering why. We think we're broken and need to be fixed. So we run down and get tested. If you want to be a diabetic, take a diabetic test. If you want to have heart problems, have your heart checked. If you want to have digestive problems, have them check your digestive system. If you want to have cancer, go in and be checked. You're going to have it. And that's what I love about Australia, is they send out a free kit to anybody over 60, and they can poop in it and send it to the government. Now, if that ain't shit right there, I don't know what is. You sent it in because you were feeling crappy. And you don't know why. You just want to know why from the experts. And they'll give it up a made-up 17th century name. And because you don't even understand the name, you think it must be real. And do what you want to me, just fix me up.
You need to look up the word cancer. It comes of the Latin canker, which means that which is rotting and decayed. You don't get cancer. You cause cancer. There's two ways to get cancer. Actually create rotten decay in the house and don't clean it out, or be tested for it, because they'll trick you. You want to have a disease? Go to a doctor and get tested for something. You want diabetes? Test your blood. Oh, you'll have diabetes, every human does. At a certain point during the day, we're all diabetic. And we're made to believe, we're tricked into believing that it's dangerous. I know of people that were type 1 diabetics who 28 days later, on just nothing but raw food and raw fresh juices, were no longer diabetic. Some of these people have been diabetic for 30 years on insulin, porcine insulin from dead pigs, sheep insulin, dead human cadaver insulin, which is now the majority of insulin. It comes from dead people. And you think that you're shooting something into you that's going to give you life and health and vibrancy? No, no. You have been tricked. And because you give yourself a shot, you think you're okay. You sit there and monitor your blood sugar. Because you think when it hits here, you need insulin from some dead carcass. Once you take it, you think you're okay because the monitor says something. The pancreas creates two mega hormones that they know of and given names to, insulin and glucagon. When you eat whole fresh foods, go for a walk, get in the sunshine, breathe good, clean, fresh, moving air, glucagon is released into the bloodstream. That's what energizes you. That's what makes you happy. That's what makes you feel good. When you eat crap, when you eat synthetic processed sugars, artificial sweeteners, that leads to your condition if you think you're diabetic.
Here's how you get rid of the mystery. These 10,000 trillion cells, all of them are tubes. They let things in, they let things out. You go inside the cell, there are organelles that are tubes. There's DNA strands, 2 meters of it in every cell. That's 20 million kilometers of DNA tubing in your cells. You come outside the cells collect together and make up larger and larger and larger tubes. The largest tube in your house is the alimentary canal. It starts at the mouth, runs all the way through the building to the back door. That's the biggest tube you have. The heart is a plexi of tubes, meaning a gathering of close to 2 million tubes. There's 243,000 miles of tubes running off the heart all the way through the body. And I don't know how many kilometers that is, I'm just a dumb American. But 243,000 miles of tubes just coming off the heart. One kidney has over 1 million tubes. The lungs. You can take out one lung and cover an entire tennis court in tubes. You go inside those tubes and get to the bronchial tubes, take those out, you can cover another football field, all from one lung. The bones are tubes. They're hollow. And if you slice it and look at what it's made of, it's millions of little tubes that give it flexibility and strength. You are like totally tubular, dude. Totally. Tubular. And because that's true, you're just made up of tubes. Disease can only be one thing. Not a mystery. No wondering. Disease can only be one thing. Something that went wrong with a tube. That's a fact. There's only five things that can happen to tubes. Here they are. Tubes can be cut. They can be smashed. They can be burned. They can become weak in their lining and burst. And they can get clogged up. And there's the deal. It is estimated in their own published publications within the medical reviews, 90 to 95% of all human disease is clogged tubes. Why do we have to give it a made-up 17th century Latin name based upon where the clog is and what they think is clogging it according to the chemical makeup of the clog? What clogs tubes is plaque. Heart plaque, brain plaque, pancreatic plaque, joint plaque, kidney plaque, blood plaque. It's plaque. And whatever the plaque consists of, typically medicinal residues from the medicines you take, and supplemental residues. The word supplement means fractured and incomplete. Why would you take something into you that's fractured and incomplete when you can eat something that's whole and has it all? Like a whole food. We'll get back to that in just a second, but here's the deal. What causes the plaque? It's a mystery. Science is trying to figure it out. Your body produces mucus. It's supposed to. That's how the lymphatic stream takes things that don't belong, like metabolic waste from the cells and poisons that you're taking in, and the foodless foods and the lifeless drinks and the crap that's poisoning you. It gets into the mucus, surrounds it, and carries it out of the body. Your alimentary canal has a mucosal lining that's supposed to slough off and replace itself every 3 to 5 days. You lived in a developed country? All of the studies show that 90% of the people in developed countries who follow a diet of 8 to 10 meals that they just rotate throughout the year, the mucosal lining doesn't replace except in periods of 6 to 9 months. When that's happening, poisons are reabsorbing back into the body, and your physiologies are having to deal with it. You're walking along one day and you're just, you know, all of a sudden you're like, and you feel like you need to puke. If grandma knew in her wisdom of the oral traditions from the ancient past that has been handed down for thousands of years, she'd have looked right at you and said, girl, the wisdom of our ancestors is if you feel like you need to puke, drink some water, stick your finger down your throat and chuck it up. Something is offending you and you need to throw it out. You look at her and you go, grandma, this is the 21st century. It's not socially correct to puke. I'm going to go down and I'm going to get me a medication. In war, everything is an anti. If we go to war, we got to have anti-tank equipment. We got to have anti-aircraft equipment. We got to have anti-personnel equipment. We got to have anti-missiles. We got to have anti-missiles. Everything's an anti. Well, we declared the fight against disease and call it the war. And we develop weapons of war in the fight against disease. So everything in it is an anti. Even in supplements, they have antioxidants. But we use made-up 17th century names for it, so you don't know what it is. You think it's a mystery and must be good for you. You can go out and you can get lycopene, which is an antioxidant. Lycopene is Latin for red food. You can go and buy bottles of carotenoids, especially beta carotene, just one of the 500 known and registered carotenoids. Carotenoid means orange food. You can even get very, very expensive bottles of capsules filled with anthocyanins. Anthocyanins means blue, purple food. Oh yeah, Don. I got a bottle of juice that's from a berry from the top of the Himalayas, and it's highest on the ORAC scale of antioxidants.
and it's only $80.
Well, what about if I go out back and just pick some blueberries?
Oh, no. If it's not coming from somewhere exotic and you can just easily get it, what you can easily get has no value. Only the expensive stuff from exotic places have value. The dirt's no good. Local food is crap. That's why you need vitamin and mineral pills and this juice that I have for you, all the way over from the Himalayas. And if you sign up here and get two of these right here and they get two more right there, you'll be sitting on the beach and you'll be rich within 90 days. That's the power of anthocyanins from the Himalayas. So here we go. Let's take a look at this word and how this thing tracks and how we shut it down. Instead of puking and enhancing the symptom, you shut the symptom down. The word symptom means a sign or a signal of an offense. Look it up in a pre-1940 dictionary because most doctors don't know the meaning of the word. They just are in a fight against the symptoms of disease. Because symptoms are uncomfortable, that's what you want treated and fixed. You don't care about the offense, nor do they. They don't even know the offense. It's a mystery. All you want is the symptom to go away. Symptom means a sign or a signal of an offense. If you need to puke, that's a sign and a signal from the brain in a nerve reflux to cause the stomach to convolute, to throw the offense of what you have eaten or drank that's offensive to cause you to throw it out of the house. It doesn't want to have to deal with it. But you think, because of your academic indoctrination, puking is dangerous. You have a disease. Some little bug floated over from Korea and happened to get into your nose, went down, and now you got to puke. You got to run, get an anti-puking vaccine or an anti-nausea medication. It's not puking, it's nausea. Nausea is Latin for you need to puke. But instead, you take an anti-nausea medication, which is a neurotoxin. It's a poison. It shuts down the nerve signal from the brain to the stomach so that it doesn't convolute. It's not turning over. You think, woo, the modern world, scientific pharmaceutical drugs. What a miracle. I feel like I need to puke. I took my medication. I don't need to puke. I'm good to go. Problem is, your body's still dealing with it. It's only going to be a matter of days or possibly weeks. Pretty soon, the body is going to open up all the sphincters of the stomach all the way through and let all the fluids of the stomach run so it can flush it all out the back door. You're going to be walking along and... You have the runs. It's called the runs because if you don't run, you may have a big mistake that you're going to have to clean up. But we came up with a 17th century Latin name for the runs. We call it diarrhea, which means you better run. So there you are. If Grandma knew you had the run, she'd have said, girl, you go in that bathroom, you give yourself an enema. If you don't want to do that, you go down and you see yourself a colonic therapist. Brilliant wisdom. If you don't want to do any of that, you take a heaping tablespoon of Epsom salts, put it in warm water, and you drink it. You got to flush this thing out. Something's trying to come out the back door. You don't want to hold it in, girl. She says, oh, Grandma, that's disgusting. I'm not going to stick something up my butt and wash it out. That's old world stuff. I'm going to go and I'm going to get myself some anti-diarrhea medication. You run down and you take your anti-diuretic because you think that nausea and diarrhea is some kind of mysterious disease. And they'll even tell you, you may become dehydrated if you have nausea or diarrhea, unless you drink some water. Here's the deal. They won't tell you to drink water. They'll just warn you. You could become dehydrated. So you take your anti-diuretic medication and it dries it all up. Hell, you couldn't poop if you wanted to. You think, whoa, the world in which you live. I had the runs, got rid of it by taking my medication. You've just added another poison to the nausea poison, which was added to the original offense that the body was trying to get rid of. Now the mucosal lining of the colon is stuck with it and having to cover it in mucus so that it will not poison you. Now the boss is going to get involved, the command center of the entire building. calls down, "Bob." "Yeah, boss. I thought we had an offense in the house." "Yeah, we're dealing with that." "Well, I thought I told you to throw it out the front door. They shut us down, boss." "You got to be kidding me." "No, sir." "Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me that about 4 weeks ago. I thought I told you to run it out the back door." "Well, we tried that. They dried it up." "They what? They dried it up." "Bob, who is this guy?" "Well, we're not sure, but we're having a tough time with this. What are we going to do?" "Well, Bob, I'm going to go ahead and call in the team. We're going to reabsorb it through the colonic wall, back into the interstitial fluids of the body. We'll call on the lymphatic stream. We'll collect it all up, build some mucus around it, and encase it and drive it up into the lungs." "How come the lungs, boss?" "Well, because when I designed the lungs, it has the ability to create huge amounts of mucus. I'll create a cough response, we'll capture it, and we'll hack it out the front door again." Bob's like, "Boss, I like the way you think." "It may be weeks, it may be months. Pretty soon he collects it all up, drives it up into the lungs. All of a sudden, Grandma can hear you wheeze." "Wow, you got congested lungs?" "Yeah, Grandma. I got a nasal run. I got me a cough." "Okay, girl, that's it. You're taking care of yourself. You're going to stay home from work, and you're going to rest. You're going to drink some hot water with lemon juice and honey, and it's going to take about 5 to 7 days. It'll clear the whole thing up, and you won't be dealing with this stuff anymore." "Oh, Grandma. You don't realize they have 21st century anti-lung congestion medication. They even have anti-cough syrup and anti-cough lozenges. And they're awesome because they taste like cherries." "So there you are. Instead of doing what Grandma's telling you, you run and add more poison, toxic poison, to your system to shut down the symptom, which is not only a warning and a signal, it is also the avenue of remissing the offense from the body. You have shut down the physiological response of your body to be able to clean the house and to cure you of the symptom. Are you following me? I'm not saying you believe this. I'm just saying, are you following? This is too simple for intellectual academic mind. So there you are. Boss calls down. They shut us down again, huh, Bob? Yes, sir. What are we going to do? We're going to have to drive it out of the skin. Really? Yeah, it's the last channel of elimination to get rid of the stuff that we have. It may take months. It may take several years. Pretty soon, you're going to be itching. You're going to have welts. You're going to have dry skin. They'll call it eczema, which is dry skin. They'll call it psoriasis, which is dry skin. They may give it close to 2,100 different names of skin problems amongst the dermatologists of the world, because they know what this is. They know you need a steroid topical cream that you can rub on that spot for welts and rashes and dried red scaly skin. You put the steroids on there, you don't even have a clue what you're setting yourself up for. Cancer is on its way. So here we go. You drive it down through the epidermis into the dermis. It gets into the bloodstream. It tries to carry it off. The lymphatic stream is still dealing with it. The intestines have already slowed down because every painkiller in the world stops peristaltic action, stops the mucosal replacement, and now you're working yourself into stuff and you don't even know you're the one doing it. You don't get disease. You cause disease. 90% of all laboratory tests come back with false positives. Check it out. In other words, you really don't have the problem that you're going to be told that you have. So you'll immediately begin treatments. You shut that down on the skin, the body has one last resort to build an internal self-containment unit, a garbage can. In the Latin, garbage can is tumor. A tumor is constructed by your body. There is no mystery. You didn't accidentally draw the wrong cosmic lottery ticket for tumors, and it was a mystery how it got there. You are doing things that led to it, and there are things that you could have done that you didn't do that would kept it from you, but now they're there. Maybe. Because of the high percentage of inaccurate laboratory results. 70% across the board are incorrect. according to their own publications. But there you are, one fine day, because you shut it all down, all of a sudden you can feel the garbage can, you can feel the tumor. Well, that's life's greatest mystery. That is the greatest thing to fear. You're so scared you run to the doctor. He'll shove a needle in it so he can get a biopsy, which will inflame and infect it, but that's okay. He'll give you pain pills and antibiotics. And we'll take that biopsy and send it over to the lab and get the 70% wrong result. He'll come back. What do we got to do? Well, we need to go in and cut it out. Okay. Next morning, first thing out of your mouth. Did you get it all? Yeah, we got it all. We had to take a lot of good flesh out around it, but that's the cost of war. We've got to fight this disease. We have to fight. It's all about fight. It's never about love and kindness and embracing things and understanding knowledge of what to do. It's always a fight. Everything's a fight. You fight illicit drugs, it doesn't go away. It escalates. Look at New York City. There was so much crime in New York City, they hired 100,000 new police officers in the beginning of the 1980s. 100,000. The crime went tenfold over 18 months. Finally, one of the people within the government there, it was a woman, said, look, it's just gotten worse, and a lot of the police here in New York now are part of what's going on. Let's just fire them all and take it down to what it was pre-1980. They did that 6 months. 6 months. Crime fell in New York City below what it had been in the 1980s. You start a fight, you start a war of any kind, the enemy, the so-called enemy, gets stronger. How come? There's money in it, even when you're fighting disease. All of a sudden, you wake up the next morning, doctor, did you get it all? Yes, we got it all. Oh, thank you, doctor. Yeah, just take your antibiotics and take your painkillers, and we'll check you out of here in about 7 days. 7 days later, oops, sorry, you picked up a nosocomial infection, a golden staph, you're going to have to stay a little longer. Nosocomial infections picked up in hospitals in the United States kills 250,000 babies, young people, women, and adult men every single year. Infections picked up at the hospitals. You want to know why hospitals are so dangerous? Because they use antibacterials. They have antibacterial wipes, antibacterial gels, antibacterial shampoos, antibacterial, everything is antibacterial. All of the little plates and glasses and everything that they drink out, they don't even wash them for their patients, they wipe them out with antibacterial. Then you pour water in and you drink it. You do not kill organisms when you do that. They mutate and become stronger. Now you're really going to be dealing with something. And what's so sad is the pharmaceutical companies that market all of these antibacterials, people are buying them and putting them in their homes and in their offices. You have antibacterials in your home, you're going to have some infections and problems. It's just going to be a matter of time. You go home and you get that crap and you throw it in the garbage or dig a hole and bury it and get rid of it. You don't need that. Hell, when I was a kid, we used to eat dirt just as a joke and none of us died. We'd be walking along with an ice cream cone, it'd fall on the ground, whoop, 3 second rule right there. None of us are dead. In fact, that's how children build the neuroimmune response. They're crawling around on the floor and picking up stuff and going over to the cat box. Nope, that's not good. That's how you build strength and natural health and inhibitors and protectors in the body. You take medications or antibacterial stuff, you are part of a marketing system. They're going to like you. You're going to be seeing them quite often. If you have a tumor cut out, the boss calls down, Bob, I thought I told you to build a garbage can. We did. Well, then where is it? We don't know. Somebody broke in one night and stole it. Boss is like, Bob, come on, man. Who would break into a house and steal the garbage can? We don't know, boss. We think they were on drugs. There's drugs all around the site. Yeah. What are we going to do, boss? He said, well, it's going to take us probably somewhere between 9 to 18 months, we got to build backup. If they're going to be breaking in and stealing, we got to build three more this next time. You ever have a tumor out? It's going to be back. You're going to have two or three more. Guaranteed. Just a matter of time.
if you don't make changes in what you're doing. You make changes, they won't come back. So there you are. Doctor, I thought you said you got it all. We thought we did too. That's the mystery of disease. But it's back, and now we need to radiate you. You radiate it, it's going to come back, and there's going to be 16 tumors. Going to mastitize, going to go up into the brain, down the spine, in the groin, over the liver, into the pancreas. Now it's aggressive stage 3. You need to get in here for chemo. You lived through chemo? God bless you. Because it means you have a will and a strength of spirit to live. No one dies until they say so. That's the truth. Even in accidents, when people are smashed to bits, they don't die until they realize they don't want to live in that body anymore because of what has happened. You are in charge of the house. No one dies until they're totally and completely worn out by the experience of being treated and drugged down, and they are weak and they are tired and they say, I'm done. What if all of us could have a health and a vibrancy about us because of the things that we are doing and that we understand to do? And what if we could walk away from the weapons of war and the fight against disease and all of the supplements that are miracle pills and capsules? And what if we could just go back and learn to go outside in the fresh air and to be in the sunshine and to walk and to embrace whole plant foods that carry the kind of nutritional components of longevity and health and vitality? This is foreign to most people. They can't even begin to allow themselves to think that health is a simple process, that life is meant to continue and for a long time. Cause 99% of their own discomfort and disease. And we need to stand up and take responsibility for that, because when we do, all of a sudden we realize, well, shoot, if I caused this, I can uncause it. And you can. That is the truth. But people want a miracle right now. They want it done right now today. If I have a tumor that I have caused and grown because I've used aluminum and an antiperspirant under my arm for years and years, and all of a sudden the effect of a tumor in my breast, if I'm a female, or in my lymph nodes, or, you know, whatever. We want to go in and have it cut out or irradiated or chemotherapy, or we want it right now, right now. Little do people realize all they'd have to do is lay down the fork, lay down the donuts, get rid of the, you know, fake foods and artificial synthetic drinks. And you could shrink it on your own and be completely gone. You can correct it. Here's how you stay healthy and clean the house. It comes down to you breathing good, clean, fresh air every day. If you're working in a cubicle in an office and the windows don't even open and you're getting recirculated, filtered air, you better know a little secret to do. They did studies on the Big Island of Hawaii, the National Laboratory of Sciences, to find out what is the best air purification machine that's available out there today that people could buy for their homes and for their offices. After 2 years of testing and investigative study, you want to know who won? The ceiling fan. The ceiling fan beats every piece of equipment that is out there. Have you ever noticed that when you have a ceiling fan on, all of the dander and particles and dead skin that float around the house from your body's collection on the fan blades? Have you ever seen that?
And if you don't clean them, it gets pretty thick up there. And so what you're supposed to do is to clean the blades about every 2 to 3 weeks, and you have the best purifying air machine there is. Here's why. Your body is electrical. We run on electric force. It's photoelectric force that keeps this house alive and going. The greatest source of electric force you have is the air you breathe, but only if the air is moving. Air purifies itself every 16 feet that it moves and recharges electrically. That's why we have wind. That's why it moves. It electrifies, and that's why we can live. If you don't have a ceiling fan in your office, get a little floor fan. Put it on low so it doesn't bug anybody and blow your papers all over. And just have it running towards you, and you'll be fine. They now know that about 90% of bronchial lung problems is caused almost always in the winter months because people don't air out their house. They shut the windows and doors, they turn on the heat, and it's stale. It's electrically dead, and that burns the lungs. And when they get burnt, the body produces mucus to protect it from the burn. Now you've got lung congestion. Then you take a medication. Open your windows. The only thing that can beat a ceiling fan is if you open your windows and doors and let the air circulate through where you live. That's it. It's the only thing that beats a ceiling fan, according to their studies. So if you live in a safe neighborhood, crack the window where you sleep and breathe that air. If it's cold, put on another blankie. Hello. And if you don't want to run up the heat bill, shut the bedroom door. That's okay, because the air is coming in and moving. The next thing is water. Water. Water is electrical and has an affinity to the electric force of air. That's why Mother Nature takes all the air up in the sky and drops it down to electrify it. When water moves, it's electrical. When it stops moving, it stagnates and becomes electrically dead. Within 24 hours, it begins to stagnate. The electric force is gone, and you can check it with a tensometer and test the surface tension. And if it's above 70 dols, you drink that kind of water, it does not hydrate you. Runs through the front door, out. If you want to electrify the water that you drink, which is so critical, especially to the brain, because the brain gets first dubs on all water you drink, not liquid, water. Any liquid the body sends down through the body, the lacteals and the small intestines suck it up, put it into the bloodstream, and that hydrates the rest of you, not the brain. The brain has a blood-brain barrier, and it will only hydrate through capillary precipitation from the stomach. There are nerve tubes that run from the frontal cortex right around the stomach, and when you drink water, within 20 seconds, it's sucking up and lifting right into the brain. You drink cold water, you're going to feel it right here. Yes or no? It's the truth. You can feel it hydrating. All the fluids of the brain, the hydronium, is supposed to drain out of your body and run right out the front door and be replaced every 24 hours. The only way that can happen is if you're drinking the weight of the brain in water. Somewhere between 2 and 3 liters of water every day. Do that, then any other liquids follow up and do that. But make sure you're replacing the brain fluids, because if you don't, the brain gets dehydrated and capillaries have to constrict to hold on to the fluid that's there, because if it drained out, you would have big problems. So it constricts. After a while, that hurts, and we call it a headache. Grandma knew you had a headache. She would have said, hey, listen, drink 1 liter of water and wait about 12 to 20 minutes. You do that, 9 out of 10 headaches are gone. But no, you get an anti-headache pain medication. And because you didn't hydrate and the problem's still there, 3-4 days later, the pain's back and it's twice as bad. Not a problem, I'll just take 2 pills. Then you get up to a 3-pill headache pain, then a 4-pill headache pain, then a 5-pill headache pain. Pretty soon, you're having migraines. You're curled up in bed and you're seeing little sparklies floating around. You don't know if you're coming or going. You just know you got a migraine. And now you go to the doctor and you get 1 pill that's equal to 5 of the others. You can get over the counter and you feel real good because you knew you were taking too many. Now you're back to 1. Then you get up to 2 of those. And then you're in trouble. Then they want to do some surgeries. They want to do some scans. Or they'll use contrast radioactive isotopics. Oh, dies. And then you're going to run into and run into and run and run. Air, water, sunshine.
Sunshine is one of the most valuable photoelectric sources of nutritional components that you can ever have. People in developed countries mostly are malilluminated. You don't have enough sunshine, at least on 70% of your body, for 15, 20 minutes every single day. You don't have enough vitamin D because it's the only source that vitamin D occurs in that your cells recognize. You can't take a vitamin D pill and get your vitamin D. Do your homework. Do some study. Quit sucking pills and capsules. Oh, but they're all natural. All right, calm down, Don. The word natural in courts of law is a meaningless term. Everything's natural. You can drop an atomic bomb and that's natural. Here it is. I've looked all over the world. I've been to all 7 continents. I have walked. I have seen. I have driven. I've been amongst indigenous peoples looking for a pill and capsule bush, and I haven't found one. I'm sorry. They're not out there. Therefore, they're not natural. I don't care who's selling them. They're not it. If you're taking herbs and pills and capsules, stop it. There's only 3 ways to present herbs into your home without creating chaos and poison. You dry them in to a dried thing, and you steep it into a tea in total complete resolution, and you drink the herbal tea. That's one. You get the seeds and you sprout your own and pick them fresh and eat them or put them on salads. That's 2. Number 3. You put them in a hot water bath and soak in it. Your skin is cytophylactic. It uptakes the nutritional components through the skin, exchanges about 1 liter of the bath water with those components and 1 liter of metabolic waste out of your body into the tub, and you just got yourself taken care of. Hot mineral springs are brilliant. If you don't have them close, do your own in your bathtub. Sunshine does not cause cancer. Kenneth Nelder, the dermatological director of the United States, in a convention in Orlando, Florida, 4 years ago, walked right on stage with his new information and said, "Stop telling the media and your patients that sun causes skin cancer. It does not, it has not, there's not one single case that is verifiable that the sun caused skin cancer. That is a lie." To sell billions and billions of dollars worth of sunscreen and sunblock, which actually causes skin cancers. Finally, the Australian newspaper on the Gold Coast just 6 months ago ran a complete article, finally here in Australia, exposing the whole thing. I was so excited. People were bringing it to me and saying, "Oh my God, we always thought you were making that crap up. Now look at this." And so I read the thing. We're all excited and we're having a beer together and this is great. And then all of a sudden I realize, uh-oh, they're up to something. Now what? 1 week after that article, they announced a new vaccine against the sun. The sun makes you happy. When the sun goes into your eyes, it develops the neurochemistry of emotional molecules that we understand as joy and happiness. People who get depressed typically do not have enough sunshine. They've done studies, $6 million, found out these 2 hunks of flesh were meant to pack you around. You're supposed to go for a walk every day, 30 to 40 minutes. Going from the car to the office is not a walk. That's a shuffle. And you don't have to have on spandex and walk like you're me. It can be a stroll, just a stroll. In my grandma's day, they called it a constitutional. It makes you strong and healthy. Walking also stimulates the function of the brain in neurochemistry of emotions. If you're all upset and coming undone, you just don't know who you are, just shut up and go for a walk. You don't need drugs. You don't need a psychiatrist. You need to get off your butt and go for a walk. Within 5 minutes of walking, you won't even know what you were upset about. How many people here know that's true? Look at the hands. I love that. And if you don't know that, try it. Call your doctor and say, "Is it okay if I go for a walk?" So there it is. And then Whole Foods. In the United States, when I lecture on whole foods, I have to define it, because over there, they think a whole food is eating a whole donut. Yeah. You have Whole Foods here at your luncheon. How brilliant is that? And foods have signs of their nature. A walnut has a left and right hemisphere and looks like the brain. Now we know it's brain food. A tomato is red and has four chambers. Heart's red and has four chambers. Now we know that tomatoes are heart food. Guess what kidney beans are for? Yeah, they heal and repair the function of the kidneys. Celery looks like a bone, snaps like a bone, has 21% sodium from plants or phytolytic sodium. Your bones are 21% sodium. You don't eat enough salt, you're going to have bone problems. Because every organ of the body stores nutritional components. The liver stores 3 to 5 years of vitamin A, the B complex, vitamin D. It stores it so that if you're not getting enough, it can pull on it. You're not eating enough salt, which converts in the body to calcium, and then from calcium to magnesium, and right down the list of minerals, it's going to pull the sodium out of the bones, and you're going to have weak bones. Your shoulders are going to hurt. Don't go in for a hip replacement. Eat salt. Your shoulders, hips, ankles, knees, don't get them replaced. Give yourself a chance to drink water and to eat enough salt over a period of 6 to 9 months, along with celery, bok choy, rhubarb. It all looks like bones. We probably have right now 500 people right here in Australia over the last 3 years were scheduled for hip, shoulder, knee replacements, canceled it, did what I just said, and they're just fine. On the Gold Coast, just 2 weeks ago, a woman just jumped up out of the audience, came running up, uninvited, but I recognized her. She's 67 years old. She was in for hip replacements in, I think it was 4 days. She heard this whole thing. She canceled it, and she walks on stage, tells her story, and goes, "Watch this." And she lifts her leg up like that, and then she lifts her leg up, and she goes, "Salt works." So cool. Salt works. That's why the pharmaceutical industry spent close to $75 million in the initial launch against salt so that they could introduce antibiotics, medication for osteoporosis, and surgery replacements. You have salt, you don't have any of that. Salt will not allow infection and inflammation in the body to stay there. You have a horrible infection, dump salt in it. It'll hurt like a bugger, but you're going to be just fine. There's only one way out of this, people. One. And that's when you, as an individual, step up and begin to understand truth. The truth of life, of health, of liberty, and embrace those principles. Because what happens is, when you consistently perform and execute the behaviors and actions that lead to health and life, you have health and life. It's going to be a grassroots revolution. And that's what this is. I've been saying it in public settings for 40 years. This is a revolution, people. And I want to invite you to search, to gain understandings, so that you have the confidence to become a part of a revolution where you lay down the weapons of war in the fight against disease. Do you realize there are studies that are now done in the United States, published, that if everyone in the United States went one day, without surgeries, without taking one medicine inside their body, without taking any radiations, scans with radioactive isotopes in the dye gels that kill people and make them sick, one day, that industry would be broke. Financially, they would be broke. How can we get 400 million people in the United States or 20 million people in Australia to go one day without seeing a doctor, without going to a hospital, getting out of the hospital, not taking any drugs, not doing anything for one day? I'll tell you how we do it. By listening to things like this and you finding enough confidence within yourself to lay down all the weapons of war in the fight against disease and walk away. There is a tribal community of people collecting right now in this revolution of self-care and self-education
Don't you let the educational curriculums of that industry trick you into believing certain things? What, you think that it's not a trick? Because people with authority and credentials from the very universities that the pharmaceutical industries control and put into place and give them power, you believe it because they wrote it? Stop it. Wake up. Take care of yourself. Love yourself enough to embrace words of life, of health, of agency, freedom to choose, freedom to think in ways that are not acceptable or even politically correct. Stand up and be a rebel. You don't have to voice it. You don't have to get into people's faces. Just do it quietly. Go on your way. People will see it. They'll come to you and ask. And that's a lot more powerful